is the Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee meeting of September 25th, 2013 in the Harvest Room. Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Devlin.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Onstead.
Here.
Vigasa.
Here.
Senators Wardner.
Here.
Flackel.
Present.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Here.
Klein. Schneider.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum, and Senators Heckelman and Klein informed me that they would not be attending the meeting today.
Do we have to review the minutes from the last meeting or not?
No.
Approve those?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, and I'm assuming you're giving us a review of the supplementary rules of operation procedure.
Sure. I had a copy, I bet. I think it's in.
I know I'm not giving it, so it's got to be you.
Mr. Chairman, everybody has a copy of the supplementary rules of operation and procedure, the legislative management. I just want to point out a couple of top items, and that is if you anybody who attends a meeting must vote. Secret ballots may not be used. Meetings are electronically recorded, and they record the records. Recordings are kept until the end of the next session on it. And a change from previous rules is that we're encouraging presenters to submit an electronic version of their testimony before the meeting, and that way the agendas become linked to the testimony. And the links go live approximately 4 to 5 o'clock the day before the meeting. And we've told the staff you should probably inform the presenters that, because they might be surprised otherwise that people see their presentations before they're actually made. But that's so that members come with the iPads and their computers, and they have the presentations already loaded on their machines on it. So that's a change. It's in 2G. Other than that, the substantial expansion of committee work, which really doesn't apply to this committee. This committee can basically do anything it wants on it, and no expansion can be made without approval of the legislative management chairman. And no subcommittee can be established without approval of the legislative management chairman, because subcommittees create as much work generally as full committees, because notices have to be given of meetings, and agendas have to be published, and minutes have to be kept. So adding subcommittees is just like adding interim committees, which would cause a substantial staff workload, and we do have limited staff.
Don't we have, haven't we always had the rule that there were would be no subcommittees?
No. You've always had the rule that cannot be appointed without the legislative management chairman approval.
And the tradition has been we don't approve them.
That's correct. And that really reviews a summary of the supplementary rules.
Any comments or questions, committee members, on the supplementary rules? If not, we'll move along. Presentation regarding the following renovation products. Mr. Smith, are you going to give those?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to direct your attention. You should have a one-page chart of the second floor of the legislative wing. I'm going to kind of be speaking to certain areas in that area, on that chart, so that would be helpful. What we're talking about this morning, first of all, is Legislative Council staff space needs. We're currently authorized for 37 staff. We had 3 additional staff authorized last session. We need staff space that ensures confidentiality of a legislative work product and also privacy for those staff people. And so we began in May talking with facility management up in O&B about nearby space that we could possibly access that's currently used by other agencies. We determined there that there was really none of that available. So then we explored with O&B the option of taking on some of the space that ITD currently has next to the cafeteria. It was our determination that would not work because it would separate the staff. So then we went to trying to use the space that we currently have in a more efficient manner. And we determined the best course of action would be, and if you look at your chart, you can see the green space is where our current library is at. What we're proposing is that the library move to where the Senate Clerk area currently is, and that's the yellow space on that drawing. Library space needs are diminishing. A lot of the records are digitized, so we don't just need as much space as we've had in the past. Okay, so the next step there would be to relocate the Senate Clerks to that blue area, which is on the west side. All this is on the second floor behind the Senate. That's the space that's currently used by our contract secretarial service. And I think last session we had 3 or 4 employees, and we also had the tour guide up there. We do have... We do have new modular furniture in that area that we propose the Senate Clerks to go into. Plus there's windows on both the north and west side, so it's pretty good space. And then those contract employees, the 3 or 4, whatever this committee determines we need for the next session, would be relocated down the Bill and Journal Room with the other contract employee. So we think the space there would work for that as well. So the first project would be to remodel that Senate Clerk area, the yellow space, and get that prepared for a library. There are some, we've done some testing as far as load limits and that kind of thing, and there are some special things we need to do as far as making that usable by the library for its weight and the stacks that would be there and that kind of thing. Then the next project would be the remodeling of that existing library area.
That'd be number 8.
That's number 8. The green space on your map. That would provide for 6 office spaces. Currently, like I said, it's underutilized. It also has a lot of open area, a lot of traffic through there, a lot of unutilized space. And then the third item that came to our attention as we were looking at this, working with the architect at OMB, was the stairwell that goes up to the IT area on the third floor. That really is not up to code. It's very steep. It doesn't have a landing between the two levels when it changes direction. It just has the steps that curve. It's narrow. And we do have a lot of legislators that go up there with their computers and that kind of thing. And that's really a safety issue. So we would hopefully move forward in replacing that as well. So it would be our recommendation that this committee approve the spending of money from our carryover money from last interim. We have plenty of money available. We wouldn't use the money that's set aside for legislative wing improvements. We're going to keep that separate for what you choose to do in the chambers and committee rooms and that kind of thing. The first in the project to remodel the Senate Clerk area into the library, OMB estimates that would cost about $43,000, plus any architect and engineering fees that we might have to incur. Remodeling the existing library space into 6 offices, and this includes heating and cooling separate in all of those units, would be about $71,600, plus any architect or engineering fees that we might have to pay over and above that. And then the third project to replace the stairwell, they estimate that would cost about $25,000. So that would be our hope that the committee would support that. I think the cost is around $157,000 in total. And like I indicated, we do have carryover monies from last biennium that we would use. It'd be legislative council monies. It wouldn't be from the assembly. Well, it wouldn't be from legislative wing improvements. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be open to questions.
What was that total number? I had 139.6 when I added up those 3. You added something for fees?
Yeah, I think I included what they estimated for architects and engineering.
The total would have been what?
I believe it's around 157.
Okay. Many members, questions? Yes, there's a mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Smith, under this proposed plan, where would the secretarial services be moved to then?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, we would move that to the ground floor as you come in off the west end at what we call the Bill and Journal Room. You know, last session, we had one employee there that was a contract employee, plus another one that was kind of there at various times. You know, it's a long, narrow area. I think we can free up space by having less copies, paper copies of bills, and print them out rather than have them stored there. And that allows for some cross-training and filling of, we can probably get by with three employees, I think. But that'd be something the committee would look at.
So, Mr. Chairman, Dennis Smith won't be able to walk between the chambers and the legislative councils in that area.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's anticipated. You know, currently, you look at the map here, number two area, that's where the House clerks, and then it goes into the Senate clerks. You know, it's an open area. We can walk through there now. I think what we're contemplating is for that yellow area, perhaps there'd be a wall there with a hallway that would remain. So all those clerks do need to get to our library, they need to get to our office for processing amendments, minutes, that kind of thing. So we would accommodate that.
Mr. Chairman, I was thinking more of a, you're talking, I'm talking about through Section 8. I was thinking about us legislators, if you want to stay away from the lobbyists and stuff.
Well, Mr. Chairman, coming up the elevator and going into the old library area?
Yeah.
Well, there'd still be a hallway through there. You know, the question, one thing we've... Mr. Chairman, just one thing we did look at for that area was, you know, making that secure and maybe a key pass to get access through, because we have people working late into the evening. That's all open. Security is pretty limited in the Capitol, and we're trying to avoid situations where, you know, somebody might be working by themselves in that area and be kind of vulnerable. So if we did put security on there, we could provide access to legislators, certain legislative employees, that kind of thing. But
you need security. Yeah. I was just kind of thinking about it. I have to change my habits.
Every Capitol's got to have a back hidden hallway somewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Smith, just out of curiosity, what is the square footage difference for the new library and with the current library? Because I know the current library has that second floor of racks or of stacks for material. Is that something that would be replicated in the new library? And what's your usable square footage difference?
Mr. Chairman, that I don't have details on. We're working with Joel and OMB trying to get some drawings and that kind of thing. I did have some earlier maps that talked about the square footage. I don't know if the library had like 1,100, I want to say. But a lot of that storage that we have up there is storage that we're going to put, you know, either get rid of and digitize, or we're going to put in a different location because we have limited access needs for it. I mean, we have a lot of payroll records going way back that we may or may not need to keep, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Senator Snyder.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Smith, just out of curiosity, has there ever been a space study? I think we required a space study of the med school, which is obviously a much bigger deal. But just wondering if we've done such a thing.
For the Capitol?
For the Capitol or even the legislative wing.
Well, you know, the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission does, you know, their space study. They have a master plan for the building itself. You know, I don't think the legislature's done any kind of study. You know, we've looked at different areas like the Hogland Room and how to best utilize that, but not an overall space utilization. Other than what was done, Jay, maybe you can add, back in 79-80 when, you know, the judicial wing building was built, and we moved from where the current Peace Garden, those rooms are, we moved up to the previous Supreme Court area. I mean, an architect was involved there, and there was exchange of committee rooms with the executive branch, and I suppose that was considered a study.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty long time ago.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Snyder, when the legislative wing was remodeled in 78, 79, and 80, the space study was basically, architect came in, looked at the space, looked at the committee rooms. The goal was all committees to meet on the ground floor, except the Prairie room would be, the Supreme Court room would still be used as a committee room, which would be for the Judiciary Committee. And then legislators were involved in selecting what committee rooms would go to which side, House and Senate. and that's basically the space needs. And since, for the staff, it's, we come to this committee with suggestions for trying to locate staff. You had a question earlier, there was a question earlier about the secretarial service. You know, that started out with 9, we're down to 4 last session, and I think we're going to recommend to go with 3, because there's just not the need for, you know, legislators aren't using correspondence, so to speak. They're using email and phones on it, so the bill and journal room could easily handle that with just removing a couple of stacks on it. So, I mean, we look at the space and, you know, it's, we just fit people in until you build a new legislative office building.
Senator Holmberg.
To move things along, I move that we approve the 3 requests for projects 1, 2, and 3.
We have a motion and a second to approve 1, 2, and 3. Do we want to use, Senator Holmberg, an exact dollar limit, or just approve the projects within the parameters of the estimates we have, or how do you want to do that?
I think that's the best way, just to approve it within the parameters that we have and they have. You know, there's.
I'm all right with that if everybody else is. Any other comments, discussion? We've been talking about this for a long time, that especially the library space that needed to be redone and reutilized, so I think it's about time to get that done. If not, we'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flackel.
Yes.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
All right, next item on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, there's a couple other items on that 835 item, but I just wanted to clarify, Jason reminded me that when we were working with OMB, and this is in response to Representative Mock's question, we did ask the library staff to prioritize their storage needs in terms of what they need on an immediate basis and stuff that's a little, needs to be less accessible, and we accommodated the high priority stuff in this new space. So there was a limited study done there in terms of input of what space requirements were needed for the library. Now, Mr. Chairman, transitioning to the next 2 bullet points in that 835, the Senate conference room upgrade and the first floor legislative lounge upgrade. Just to remind everyone that $500,000 was appropriated for this next biennium for legislative wing improvements. This committee has approved those traditionally. Some of the identified projects that are currently in play, the Senate conference room, it's been suggested that be upgraded, new table, probably technology upgrades, video, chairs, that kind of thing. The table would cost about $4,500. The rest of it we really don't have identified yet, but it'd be similar to what we've done in some of the other rooms as far as accessibility, audiovisual kinds of things. The other area that potentially could be upgraded is a first floor legislative study area. That's what we refer to it as. You know, if you recall, there's one on the ground floor where the doctor of the day is. There's been a small meeting room put in there plus lounge area. On the first floor, if you recall, that's an L-shaped room right off the Senate. Basically the old smoking room, point of reference. I guess the direction there would be what this committee would think that room should be used for in future sessions, and then we would get the tables, chairs, whatever, to accommodate that use. So that's one item that potentially is on the list. You may want to think about that or whatever. But we do, or we would like to get direction regarding that Senate conference room, the upgrades on that. And that would make it consistent with what we've done at the House conference room up above the House in the balcony and all of the other committee rooms. Make it more usable, but maybe Senator Wardner's got comment on that. Or
Mr. Chairman and committee members, you know, I think we need to upgrade that room. You know, it's been a long time since it's had any remodeling. Currently, the state of North Dakota, we have people from all over the country coming to our capital, and we need a decent, nice, comfortable environment in order to meet with them, and it's open to everybody to use in the Senate. They just need to let Renee know when they want to use it, and they first come, first serve. And so I think with technology and things like this, it needs to be more usable, and use it for conference committees. There's just a whole lot of different uses that it can be used for. And so I really am pushing that we upgrade that room.
Senator Holmberg?
And those who have been in the room, and I know most of you have, that used to be a telephone room, so it's got all of the external wires running up and down the walls that would be removed, because there is no need for that kind of old technology anymore. So I agree with Senator Wardner. It needs updating.
Would it be floor covering and everything, Mr. Smith? That would be the intent? Paint the walls, new floor covering?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the walls would probably have to be painted after we remove some of the telephone connections and that kind of thing. I think the carpet was probably replaced when the rest of the committee rooms were, but if not, for sure it would have to be upgraded. And then we look at the audio-video kinds of uses as well.
I can tell you that it was a real bonus for us to redo ours, even though it's in an odd location upstairs behind the seating area in the gallery. We use that conference room all the time upstairs. I know Representative Mock uses it as a hiding zone once in a while to get a little business done, but it's a great room to work out of. So I would, the house, as far as I'm concerned, we've tried to not get involved in each other's sides when you wanted to redo rooms and stuff, so I'm accommodating whatever, but my only recommendation would be, if you're going to do that, I would also recommend that you do something with that lounge area to bring that up to speed, because that thing is, the one downstairs is a very nice room now, has a private area in the back, and if we're going to have those, I would recommend that, at least in my opinion, I would fix that one up at the same time, but then you've got them both done, and so whatever you senators feel you want to do on that side.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I want you to jump in here, Senator Snyder, and this too. But when I look at that smoking room, first of all, I think it just sits over there. I think I'd like it set up so that it could be used for if we had to move a committee up there for committee hearings, you know, have it so that it could do a lot of things. And we could have conference committees there, especially when we got a lot of them going on at the end of the session. And then either caucus could use it for caucus meetings and stuff like that. So I think that needs to be upgraded at the same time so it can be usable.
Senator Snyder?
I definitely agree. That room is kind of behind the times, to say the least. I think I had some of that furniture in my dorm room, actually.
Yeah.
So it's definitely time. I just have a quick question about the Senate conference room. In the hallway, do we still have the telephone booths that are there?
Yeah.
Is there any way we could do something with that, too, to kind of make that hallway a little more up-to-date?
Where's
that? And they're kind of charming in sort of like a London kind of way, you know?
Well, Mr. Chairman, he makes a good point, because it's like going through a back alley into that room. And we have our supply room is right across from those. And I think Senator Snyder's right that we need to take a look at that space coming into that conference room, because it is like going through a back alley. And both rooms, not only the one for the Senate conference, but also the ex-smoking lounge, you know, we want to have technology in there. We want to do it up right now. We don't want to have somebody have to take care of that later on. So we want to have both rooms to be flexible and usable and be able to be functionable.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Holmberg.
You see in those phone booths, I think during the session you'll find that's where they store boxes and stuff like that. But even if you look at them, remember that before you even get to the phone booths, you've got to go through, which is essentially the mail room, where you've got the tables and they're throwing all the mail out in that first little anteroom before you get to the hallway, before you get to that meeting room. But it is in need of an upgrade, for sure.
Mr. Chairman, to your left.
Senator Blackwell.
Yeah, I think I had it on my list, too, in terms of the phone booth rooms. When they use them, if nothing else, take the names off of them or something like that, because it does look a little odd. The Senate conference room, I would have one request, if we could keep that whiteboard on there. I've used it a number of times in terms of, you know, so there's a small whiteboard in there that's helpful, because there's been discussion about that, too. And then, I mean, the table originally came, just so everyone knows, originally came from the Missouri River Room, and it was one of those deals where they gave us something that they forgot to ask us what we wanted in advance, and it was kind of like way too big for that room, and now we have one that's way too small, so maybe next time we'll get one weighed just right. But that one could possibly be moved into the so-called smoking room, because, yeah, it is. I mean, it's like Johnny Cash's car, one piece at a time kind of thing in there.
And, Mr. Chairman, there is not unanimity about the whiteboard.
It's sure nice when I don't care what you do with it. That's an internal affair. I can see that. We'll appoint Senator Snyder the referee, and we'll let you guys decide what's happening with the whiteboard.
Are you ready for a motion?
Representative Vigason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was suggesting that we maybe move those phone booths to the Heritage Center, because the next generation isn't even know what they were. That might be a nice display in the new building. But question about the Senate upgrade, Senate conference upgrade. Would there be, did you mention, Mr. Smith, about some video equipment and upgrades in that room as well?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Vigason, that would be the plan, is to have that ability to, have video streamed, or, you know, Jason could probably speak to it better, but we'd want to accommodate, you know, like in here we have projections and the ability to make presentations or that kind of thing. But we'd want to do it right. And
Mr. Chairman, follow up on that?
Yes.
Would there be capabilities then in the Senate conference room that aren't present in the current House conference room, and should we look at having the same capabilities in each room so that both rooms could be utilized for those purposes?
Mr. Chairman, I think there would be certain things lacking from the House conference room. And
we do not have that video capability up there, I don't believe.
And we could work and do that as well as if the committee directs us to. I think that'd be appropriate.
And the House one isn't accessible, so you probably would run some risk there.
No, I had a personal bias here. When we first started doing these rooms, we had to make sure everybody got the same amount of money. And now we've got a lot of the rooms complete. I'm not hung up on where the money goes, as long as we bring all of them up to the same standard along the way. So I think that if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I think our committee rooms and the microphone systems we put in and the new tables have been a tremendous upgrade in our committee rooms for our committee chairman and the public. And I think we need to continue to do that. And if we have $500,000 basically there that we can use for this, I think that we should find the best use of it and spend it and get those things upgraded. That's just my editorial comment about that, because former Senator Stengen was always worried that we got a dollar more. And bless his soul, I don't care. I would be open for the motion, though.
Before you go to that, you know, one on the sometime to-do list, the Missouri River Room, particularly with the Government and Veterans Affairs Committee, it is very hard for those constituents who sit out in the audience to hear anything. So think about if we could maybe get a couple of microphones in that room, because we hear that a lot from them. And a couple committee members kind of have not as much inflection in their voice, and it really amplifies because of that, or creates a greater problem. So if we can think about that on a go-forward basis, that would be much appreciated, I think, by those in the audience.
Mr. Steckler took note of that, I see. So, in the form of a motion, I guess this is pretty wide open yet. We would need to gather some estimates of what you want done there, and then come back for approval. Is that how you would see it, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, I think if you just give us a general approval, that's kind of what you did in the other committee rooms. I know we did have some estimates on that, but you could do it either way, but time is kind of an issue with Rough Rider and making sure that they get things completed, so we don't have to worry about it next fall.
Senator, how you want to handle it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move forward and within the parameters that we've discussed. I think council understands what needs to be done, and they've listened to everybody's issues.
For both rooms, the conference room and the first floor lounge?
Right, and we'll throw in there, we'll take care of the house. Make sure that that is up to standard. And I know that there was a comment about being handicap accessible. There is an elevator up to that level. Yes, there is.
There's an elevator up there, but the problem is how narrow the aisle is behind the chairs. It's not the fact you can't get there. I'd hate to have to do a lot of spinning in the wheelchair. I sat 6 weeks in to get up there, but...
Mr. Chairman, when the legislative wing was remodeled, an elevator was installed, so that committee, that room is handicap accessible if you go around the house balcony seats, because there's an elevator on the east side.
It would work, but it's not ideal. I'll put it that way.
There's different grade, I believe.
Yeah.
It depends if you're talking to a House member or a Senate member.
So I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? The only question I have is, what was decided on the phone booth thing? Anything? Are they supposed to look at removing those, or?
Mr. Chairman, we can look at that. I think those are basically built in. I'm not sure what options we would have, but we'd work with facility management or whoever to...
And Mr. Chairman, that's been discussed before, and they're really recessed. So taking them out, you're not going to gain anything, because there's still a wall there. I mean, you'll gain some storage space maybe, or a mail sorting table, but they're built in.
We'll have to look at them now. I've never really paid attention. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? We'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flackel.
Yes.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Snyder. Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then, Mr. Steckler, you're up on the House and Senate Chamber Audio System and Legislative Data Plan Reimbursement Policy.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I think, as you all know, the current systems in both the House and the Senate probably don't perform as adequately as we'd like them to do. The repair of the equipment's getting to be much more of a challenge just due to the age of them. A lot of people probably don't remember, I know Representative Carlson does, during 2011 or 2013 session, we actually did have a failure in the House side, and we actually had to go steal equipment out of another room or borrow equipment out of another room in order for them to gavel back in an afternoon session. Just as an example, there is no failover, there is no redundancy. If one piece of equipment goes down, the House was actually going to be down that afternoon. I think a lot of people would agree as well in both chambers that the existing speakers probably don't do a decent job of coverage. There are certain dead areas that are harder to hear in both chambers. There are some sweet spots that the audio guys would actually call where it does sound good, but there are many areas where the sound is very almost dead, dull, very difficult to hear. Then we constantly play with the mic scenario where somebody will say that Representative Mock is too quiet, but then it's too loud for other members in the chamber, just as an example. So what we propose to do is $257,000 was actually allocated out of the $500,000 for legislative wing upgrades to actually replace both the House and the Senate sound systems. And with that, what we would like to do is continue to work with the contractor that has done the previous rooms, Tricorn Audio Video out of Fargo and Bismarck. They're the ones that have worked inside of the Harvest Rough Rider. They're the ones that stipulated the portable systems for the other rooms. In response to Senator Flackel's comment, too, about let's get some speakers in there to make it easier for the audience in the galleries to actually listen, it is our plan as we go forward and the portable systems start to go out of date and out of warranty, we would basically replace them with in-room systems like you see in the Harvest and Rough Rider. What we did initially was to get sound systems into every one of those rooms, but as we replace them and they're dated out of service, we would like to replace with what we have in here. Something much more dynamic and is basically the sound is controlled electronically through a rack. So our preferred method is actually to continue to work with Tricorn and have them actually do the installation. They have been supporting the microphones, the speakers, and the electronics in both chambers since 2009. And they're familiar with our integration. And when I say integration, the sound system, believe it or not, is integrated into the voting system and into the video system because it indexes when members actually speak and that type of deal. So what we propose to do is to actually have them go ahead and actually implement their solution in both the House and Senate. An alternate solution would to actually slow it way down and go out for a request for proposal. What this would require would us to go out and actually get an independent audio expert and actually write specs that could be bidded upon by however many companies actually thought they could perform the work. That usually costs 10% to 15% of the entire project. And the only thing I'm a little bit concerned about is with the availability of vendors and workers right now that this would be done prior to the 2015 session. So really what we request is that allow us to actually continue working with Tricorn, sole source this, and get this project done prior to 2015. But like I mentioned earlier, the $257,000 was budgeted as part of the $500,000 for the 1315 legislative wing improvements, Mr. Chairman.
Questions, Mr. Representative Devlin? I know you had some real thoughts about our system in the House, having sat up there for the whole session. And let the record show that that was a leftover system from the Senate. In their infinite wisdom, when they got a new one, we got their old one. And it's been performing exceptionally poorly. Representative Devlin, anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not really, other than the fact, you know, the IT people and people involved did a heroic job in there trying to get so that everybody could be heard, but the speaker system, in at least in the House chamber, is just impossible to work with, and it's long overdue to be replaced. So.
And the Senate one that was replaced, I don't remember when that was, but at maybe 09, whenever we got the one moved over, it isn't that long ago, because I was on council, I remember that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think Jane might be able to answer that, but it was prior to 2009. And it would be our goal that both systems have the same equipment, or both chambers have the same equipment installed. We do have similar issues in the Senate as well. For an example, we put a guy on the floor, and as people tell us that it's too loud, too soft, we have another person in the back room. We IM them and say, turn up station 23, they turn it up a little bit, we say that's too much, they turn it down a little bit. That's usually how our first couple of weeks of session go, until we either give up asking us to change it, or we actually get it right.
Mr. Bernhard.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, part of that is Bill Horton, the Secretary of Senate, explained that to me one time, because he would stand up there and adjust the volume. But it's during the organizational session, members are supposed to be at their desks and they adjust the in the back room, they adjust the whatever in the amplifiers, and the trouble is, as the session progresses during the day, members get weaker. So they may start with their microphone right here, and that's where it's set to, and by the time they're done, the microphone's down here, and that's why the volume goes down in the chambers, because of the types of microphones you're using and the adjustable length of your arm and how tired you get.
Would the microphones be changed as well?
We understand that, Mr. Chairman, that those the microphone thing is a big issue. We will look at that. We have various options. We do know that you continue to like the push to talk. That is something that we will come back to this group and hopefully have some examples. Another option is we have found various companies out there that would actually take the microphones and actually replace everything out of the insides of them. So they would basically look the same, but they would function more adequately, hopefully, in the future. The push-to-talk type microphones that you have in the chambers are very difficult to find, as you know. When you see other legislative bodies speak, they mostly have type of microphone like this, a gooseneck and that type of deal. That's not ideal, so we know it should probably be a handheld.
So the answer was?
There's a lot of options out there, and if we can't find one, we would have to change out the insides of the existing microphones.
Okay, I just was wondering when you redo the whole sound thing, because I'm not so sure some of those and their connections aren't what's bad in the first place.
Correct. And as far as the high and low, you've probably noticed in this room, as well as the Rough Rider room, there's actually an electronic equalizer in the back room, so if I start to talk a little quieter, it automatically tries to pick that person up. If I talk too loud, it actually cuts me down a little bit. That's why these rooms are a little bit more stable than what the chamber should be. We did have the vendor actually bring in I'll call it a stack of speakers. It was probably 6 inches wide by 3 feet tall. He put one in the front of the house chambers as the most difficult area because it's so big, and electronically he could almost fill the entire floor, and then he could change the direction of it electronically, and he shot it up to the balcony while we were sitting up there. So what they can do nowadays and actually fill a space is pretty dynamic.
Comments, questions? I don't think there's any question that needs to be done. So just so I understand the math, we had $500,000, of which $257,000 would be spent for the sound systems, leaving us the balance of that money for the work in the rooms.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep, that makes it a little closer when you get it all done, but that's fine. This is a process each time to do that. Is there a motion for approval? Representative Devlin moves for approval.
Second.
Is a second by Senator Warder. Any other discussion? If not, we'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flackel.
Yes.
Heckman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
All right, next item has to do with legislative data plan reimbursement policy. I can tell you that I get as many calls on this as anything. People trying to figure out what they're getting and if they're getting it right and if they're getting the right amount, and I made the same calls myself. And I especially get one from one particular young guy who will carry his iPad everywhere and he wants his phone line in the iPad or hooked up to the iPad as his reimbursement instead of anything else. And I don't know that we have a policy for that, so I'm assuming you're going to try and straighten all that out for us. we understand. I'm not repeating it for the record, Doug.
I turned my mic off. All
right. What was his name again?
Can you spell it?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, so really what I want to talk about is the broadband that we allow to be installed in every legislator's home, as well as mobile data reimbursement. As you know, and maybe some of the members, it's been a while since you currently signed up, but we actually have to have the legislators work with a member of ITD and get that member of ITD on that legislator's bill so we can separate the broadband access that comes into your house so it can be charged to the state, so I have the ability to actually get that paid. Having said that, that obviously has a bunch of issues. Number one, we have another person that is on your billing account. Number two, if you ever change your broadband without notifying us, move, disconnect, cancel, whatever it may be, we usually get calls because they can't cancel it until the equipment's returned, that type of deal. Those are just some examples. Another thing I've heard from legislators is even though we may be paying $30, $40 a month for the broadband, it limits them on the other type of packages they can get for their TV and that type of deal. The other thing is some broadband providers, whether it be cable or DSL, require us to actually rent equipment from them. Others allow us to purchase at one time, and it usually pays for itself over the span of that legislator's term. There's just a lot of issues with it. Mobile data reimbursement for your cell phones and that type of deal. Legislators are asked currently to fill out a form stating the total cost of the data plan that they have. They claim the amount or the percentage of it that's actually used for legislative business, and then we reimburse based on that percentage or cost. For an example, if their mobile data plan is $80 because they have a family share plan and they say that 50% of it is actually used for legislative business, then we would reimburse at the $40 mark. Both of these current reimbursement procedures cause us problems. Number one, the plan configurations, the options for users out there nowadays are so broad and so ever-changing as they market new things, there is no way that I'll be able to write a policy to be able to keep up with it, because as soon as I think I've got that on cover, the next month there would be a new option available for people out there that may or may not fit the legislator's lifestyle, current situation, or their plan needs better than what my policy could write. As an example, some members want to implement, like Representative Carlson said, cellular data access on their iPads. Currently, I have no authority to pay for that. I can pay for their mobile device, but I don't actually have in a policy that I can actually reimburse for their mobile data on their iPad. Then they'll come back and say, well, I don't need it on my phone. I already have that. I pay for it myself. I don't claim for reimbursement. I just want that $40 or whatever it may be. Another example is we all know that if you have a family share plan for $10 a month, you can add your iPad to your plan. There's 100 different examples out there, but right now I don't have the authority to actually help those members get into the situation that they want. Another example is some members who have broadband in their home want to give that up and would rather have a mobile hotspot. And basically a MiFi that they carry around and they can use it with their computers, their iPads, that type of deal, because of travel needs or whatever, or current situation. So those are the things that we kind of run into, and some of the things that a policy can never continue to cover because of the various requests that we have out there. So currently right now there's 133 members that actually participate in the broadband reimbursement, and the average of that is $49 a month. And with the mobile data for the cell phone reimbursement, there's only 39. There's many more people obviously out there that have mobile data plans and they're covering themselves. They just chose because of family data plans and whatever else, and they didn't think that they could adequately determine the percentage that they use for legislative business, so they haven't signed up. But of those 39, the average is $32. Now with inside of there, whether it be the broadband at home, you've got the lower people and you've got the higher people. You have people that pick the most extreme package. You have people that pick the lower package that probably should actually go up a little bit. It's just what they've had for the last 10 years, and they've never really upgraded. And the same thing on the mobile data plan. You have some that are very cheap and you have some that are very expensive. So having said that, 49 for the broadband and 32, you know, you're looking at an average of about $82 between the two plans right there. So what we're requesting is that you allow for an information technology stipend to be distributed to legislators who sign an agreement that they'll use it for technology related cost. Currently the 2013-2015 budget allows for about $90 per legislator per month for technology related costs. That obviously could include things such as broadband, mobile data, hotspots. However that particular legislator chose to use it, as long as they signed an agreement saying that they were going to use the money for technology-related costs. So the amount of the stipend would have to be determined by this body, obviously. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stop for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Steckler, you said 39 members use the mobile data plan?
Correct. 39 members currently claim for reimbursement for mobile data.
Has there been more in the past? I know at one point it was easy, or there was a different component for the reimbursement.
It has kind of gone up and down. And our last 2 years ago, we actually changed it to where with the implementation of the family share plans and that type of deal, we actually said, okay, well, we're going to get out of the business of them only allowing them to claim one particular telephone number, one particular data plan, and say, hey, you give us a copy of the bill, you show how much your entire data plan is, and you claim a portion of it. Say for an example, if it was a family of three and they had three people all equally using it, they would only claim a third of the total cost. That was a an issue we had because we couldn't determine off the bill how much the legislator needed to claim versus the rest of the family. So we allowed that flexibility to the legislator to tell us. Because obviously, just because you have three people on it, one person could still be using 75% of the data. And you can determine that. We can't off of the bill usually, unless they have detailed billing and they provide.
So your recommendation to us
is that we just establish a number and that everybody gets reimbursed for that.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. If they sign a document stating that they're going to use the so-called number for technology-related costs, the IT department, as you know, they would work with you with whatever type of technology that particular legislator chose to take. I mean, we do it now. We work with legislators on their personal machines, personal Wi-Fis, personal MiFis. We will always continue to help them with whatever situation. I just think it may alleviate some of the questions we continue to get as you have gotten throughout session. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that?
Mr. Rock and then Senator Holmberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my understanding is if that were to be the policy, that ITV would no longer need to do the split billing with internet service in the home of legislators. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that would alleviate, you know, the whole split billing and ITV paying portions of internet bills.
That is correct. We would no longer get calls from legislators saying, why didn't ITV pay my bill? You know, that type of deal as well, because maybe they billed us late or there was a problem with the billing through ITD. Another issue that did arise prior to the 2013 session is ITD, for all broadband accounts like that, wanted to implement surcharges on them. I think I quite adequately talked them out of doing that for the legislative body, but they did do that for executive and judicial. But I do see that since they do have the overhead and they do have the paperwork that's involved with setting that up, tracking it, and doing the interdepartmental billing each month, there is a logistical tail there.
Senator Holmberg.
And there are some folks that utilize, and I'll just use a company, Mid-Continent, does all the data, and those legislators never see any bill because the only thing they have from Mid-Continent is that. Would that change then, and those individual legislators would start getting, would transition to a bill from Mid-Continent, and they could use the stipend to pay that particular bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Humberger, that is correct. Mid-Continent is one that actually does do split billing, so the member doesn't actually see the data portion. The rest of them, I'd say it's 50-50 out there right now. And as more and more of them go to, what it seems, more and more of them go to electronic billing or new billing methods, it's harder for them to actually split the billing. I think you all remember with Verizon, we had some split billing very early on before we got out of working with Verizon, and that was always a disaster. So.
That was a disaster.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Armstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason, you know, the 39, I think, is really a low number, and more people utilize that, but as always, it was more of a hassle to go through the paperwork and get everything in a square way from your phone and so on, and all of a sudden there's an upgrade in the phone, and it's right back in there at that point. And although, you know, these packages keep changing and so on, I think it's... point to, I don't know where the number should be at, you know, if it should be $75 or something at that point, but although there might be people that are not using that, but I think well over the majority, almost everybody, is at that point, and I think it really would eliminate a lot of headaches and hassles because it's ever-changing. When you look at these packages, and then when you combine them with family members and so on, I think it's probably the way that we need to look at.
So what would be your recommendation,
Mr. Chairman? Can
you were picking a number. Excuse me, Senator Flacco.
You know, the combined packages, because, I mean, like for the hotspots and stuff, what are the upper ends of some of those costs? And then a second question is, with the toll for a person, how many people are over like $100 total bundle with both? Well, or all of the above kind of things?
It Let me just quickly, as far as the MiFi's and the mobile hotspots, it's like anything else. You can add it to your existing data plan. You can get the mobile device, the MiFi, fairly cheap, and then it just starts using the data from your current data plan. Option number two is you can take a MiFi out and actually have its own data plan, and you pick 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 gig of data per month on that device, and then you pay accordingly. So you could start as cheap as $40 a month, and you could go as high as $100 a month on that MiFi, or for $10 a month on the Verizon, for an example. I believe AT&T has a similar program. You just use part of your existing cell phone's data, but you might want to look at upping that so you don't get overage charges. As far as the number of people that this would affect, because combined they're over $100, it's difficult to say, but maybe there would be about 10.
So how do you arrive at a number for the stipend?
Well, what I've done for you, like I mentioned, you got $49 is the average for the broadband, and you got $32 is the average currently for the mobile data reimbursement, knowing that there's only 39 members currently participating. I do believe that there would be more people participating. So you, if you wanted to downplay it a little bit, at $75 would be on the low end, and like I mentioned, we have $90 per legislator per month in the budget capability.
So then it would just be a direct deposit to that individual?
I believe it would be a separate payment, direct deposit.
Separate payment and a direct deposit. Well, to me that makes a whole lot more sense, but I wouldn't know exactly the number, but I know that it the plans aren't getting a lot cheaper there.
Chairman Holberg. And that would and I agree with what Representative Carlson just said. It's much simpler. That would then become taxable too for the individual legislator. Is that not correct?
I'll let the CPA answer that one.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Holmberg, yes, it would be taxable income, but I'm not sure if it'd be on the form 2106 as business expense. You could deduct, you know, those costs that you're incurring, so it should be a wash.
Do we have any kind of a motion? I like the idea of a stipend. I think that this has always been confusing. I remember when Verizon was doing some switching and they screwed up the bill 3 months in a row, and you try and get that all straightened around and reimbursed. It is almost impossible. It's like getting a bill passed in Congress. Yes, Senator Holmberg.
I would move that we go in that direction, that we utilize the money we put in the budget, which would be $90.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second for $90 stipend.
And Mr. Chairman, there would be adequate notification as far as the legislators are concerned because of the Mid-Continent thing, and I know there are a few legislators that have all of a sudden, when do they start paying their bill?
Yep.
There will be adequate notification, and that's fine.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we'll obviously do adequate notification and start phasing this in. I'm sure there would be some that would be maybe in the process of moving locations where we might have to extend the existing, but we just wouldn't allow them to have the stipend and pay for the reimbursement at the same time.
The more electronic we become, the more dependent we become on this system, and as far as meeting notices and everything, we've tried to eliminate the paper, and if you're not connected, you're going to miss what's going on. So, Senator Blackwell.
Mr. Chairman, so the $90, is that a threshold, or that would they get even if they use 60? And then do they have to sign off that they're using some of this for the two purposes, we'll call it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Flackwell, I think the whole idea behind the stipend is that you set that that's what the amount's going to be reimbursed, and the legislator just simply states that they'll use that for technology-related costs. Since it's not a national reimbursement, you have up to $90 to use, and that's what the base, that's what the reimbursement would be for each legislator who signs and says they'll use it.
I don't see any problem with it.
Question?
Yes, I'll call the question.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flackel.
Yes.
Eckerman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
All right, next item.
consideration of implementation of recording of interim committee meetings in the Rough Rider and the Harvest Rooms.
Mr. Chairman, as you all know, in 2012, LPA actually approved the installation of cameras and video equipment in both the Harvest and Rough Rider rooms. As you can see, the cameras are actually installed. There is some hardware installed. The rooms are available for streaming and recording, albeit very manually. When I say manually, that's the starting of the meeting, the stopping of the meeting. There is no indexing. As you all saw on the chamber floor, we index by speaker, we index by bill, we index by order on the calendar. It's a quite user-friendly system. In order to continue with these rooms, we know that we needed to do the indexing system in both of these rooms, which is not there. We stopped that during the 2013 session because we wanted to actually focus on what was in the chambers, and we thought that any additional expenditure should probably be revisited by this group. So what we're basically asking for the decisions is we want to decide today whether or not to implement the video streaming and recording in the Harvest and Rough Rider. To implement indexing, if so desired, the cost would be $65,000. That indexing then would continue to be used for any additional rooms that the legislative body decided to install cameras into. All that does is gives us the software to be able to index, have an agenda that the public actually see the video, and they can skip down to agenda items and or speakers. So what we're trying to decide today is whether we want to continue with that process, whether we want to wait until after the 2015 session, and if so, if we're going to wait, since we do have the capability manually to record and or stream in these rooms, whether that would be an option for chairmen that request it. We have had certain chairmen in the past that have requested to stream various things and or record them. And in the past, we've always partnered with the health department, and they brought in their mobile setup in order to conduct that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will open it up for questions.
Any members, questions? Yes, Representative Onstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Go over and explain the part about the indexing and being able to select a category, or how is that?
Sure. In this particular thing, in this particular room, in this particular meeting, let's say that we were recording it and or streaming it, whether you be watching it live, you would see the video, and you would actually see the agenda right to the right of the video. If, for an example, you wanted to delay a particular agenda item and skip it and then come back to one, it would actually come down and highlight what agenda item you were on, so the person who was watching it could actually see it. If you were a person that came back and wanted to only watch it after the meeting took place and were only interested in agenda items at 9:25 and 9:35, you wouldn't have to play the entire video to get to it. You could just click on those agenda items and the video would automatically start at those points, if that makes sense. Okay. That's what the indexing actually will do for it. Very similar to the chambers. You can select just by a bill, see all the times when it was introduced, when it was referred to committee, the committee report, the voting on the floor.
And just to add to that, you know, when you get in a hearing, of course, length of hearings and so on is undetermined. And so when you look at that agenda at a 9:30 item, it's probably not, that particular bill is not there. So is that corrected on that indexing, or is there an adjustment on that? Okay, there is.
Correct. For the interim meetings, obviously, is what we're talking about right now. That would actually be corrected then on the playback version for the public to actually see, so it is correct. They get the indexing also date time stamps, the item, if you will.
So you'd have to, when you say manual, that means there'd have to be somebody sitting in this room running it.
We have to have somebody sitting in this room that would actually start the meeting, pause the meeting, start the meeting, pause it, start the meeting and end it. Versus if we actually had the indexing system, the person sitting up there actually could, all they do is click on an agenda item as the chairman calls for the next thing, whether it be roll call, whether it be presentations of anything, they just click on it and it automatically timestamps it and ties that in with the video. kind of like TiVo, DirecTV, your DVR at home. It's kind of like chapters on a DVD, if you will. It automatically inserts those. But really what's before us is whether we want to continue with these rooms, what we should use the Harvest and Rough Rider for. Obviously, we're going to continue to get asked, I would guess, by a few chairmen to have it streamed, whether that's even allowed. We can continue to work with the health department. They do a fantastic job. $65,000 is a lot of money. I know it's kind of this in the committee rooms is in its infancy, that's for sure.
Any comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I guess personally I'd like us to wait until next biennium to continue this and see how things work out and how many people request it and then move forward at that time. And there may be some new technology that comes along in the meantime that makes it even better.
Senator Flacco?
Two questions. First, like in a room like this, it seems we have two essentially stationary cameras. Are they mobile, or do you need somebody with a joystick running them so that if the chairman calls on somebody, it flips around, and by the time it flips around, they've already asked a question? I mean, that logistic I have a question about. And then second, would the proposal then be that we would have essentially three forms of archiving? We would have the minutes that are typed up by the clerk of the committee, we would have the audio, and then we would have the potential video.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Flacco, good question. These are pan tilt zoom cameras. Each camera is capable of six presets. In this particular room, we have it set up where most of the time it's the one on the presenter. There is a broad shot to the chairman, and then there's also predefined shots to this half of the table and that half the table. So a person sitting up front, the clerk actually has just a little display, and all they do is say camera 1, 3. And they actually can see on a little screen what's actually being streamed at that time. They do move pretty quick. They do focus very quickly. Obviously, for the quick questions, yes, no, we would leave it on the presenter, if you will. We wouldn't actually try to switch. If there's long discussions, it's very easy to switch the cameras. But there is no joystick. There is nothing like that. Your next question was, you have to remind me, sorry.
Are all three, would three types be then archived?
We would
written in audio and then this.
The written, obviously the minutes would continue to be done until we were told to stop those. We would continue to do the audio and record it just to make sure that we have good video, but once that's done, I don't think we would need to keep the audio anymore because we have the audio and the video via the room stream and the record. So we could actually drop the second one once we were comfortable with it.
This becomes public record and is available to anybody who asks for it?
That's correct. Well, just like the current audio recordings now, Mr. Chairman, they request them. It comes through our library. It goes to our IT department. They pull the job. They actually convert it into a playable format for the public, and we provide it to them then.
Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman and Jason, I think some states that have gone to the recordings have done away with hard copy minutes. So you just go to their website and you go to their committee and you look for that day, whatever bill hearing they had, and that's all they have as far as an official record. So that's one way of doing it.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Smith is correct. I'm assuming that's probably a transition piece that they did over years where they slowly got rid of their minutes and they just used their audio-video format as their record.
We've got to move along here to make sure we get done by 10 o'clock when the budget section starts. I tend to agree with Senator Wardner that I think that I would prefer to see how everything is working out as we continue to evolve on the floor with our cameras and recording all the stuff that we're doing on the floor and streaming that, and then move on to committees. If there's more requests for it, we have the option to use the health department. Did we pay them by the time, by the hour? How do we do that?
We did not have to reimburse. They did that based on the, I believe it was the content material. I think it was Affordable Care Act, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's when I remember when Representative Kaiser had them come in and stream that. Okay.
Just
Any other comments, thoughts, Senator Schneider?
Maybe just a quick question for clarification. Is this just for the interim that we're considering this? We could still go forward with recording in the Harvest Room and other rooms during the 2015 session?
My agenda item was asking for the interim, specifically because if we were going to do it and you chose to index, I need the approval for the $60,000 to get the indexing functionality in, tested, and working. So my request was for the interim, Senator Schneider.
Thank you, Mr. Deckler. So, Mr. Chairman, if we were to not move forward with the interim, we could still have an opportunity to go forward with recording committee sessions.
We could bring that back, I'm assuming, session to this committee for a decision for the session. Am I correct in that, Mr. Berger?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, there's always bugs when you make that, you know, bugs in the system when you make that changeover, and it seems like if there is no coverage of an interim just as an experimental situation, that we go right into the session and all of a sudden day one, is there going to be any hang-ups with the system or something? It seems like this would be, not everyone, but it seems like some hearings during the interim should be a test run to see, get all the bugs out of there.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Onstead, I mean, obviously, whenever we decide to do it, or if it was decided to do it, you know, we would ask for adequate time, and we would not tell you we were ready to go live until we were ready to go live. You know, whether that would be, we need 90 days, 120 days, 4 months, or whatever, I can't really tell you that right now, because it's just, I don't know how long it would take to implement the indexing. I don't think it would take longer than 3 months. So if that being said, I have complete faith in the our technologists upstairs. They seem to be able to always pull it off regardless of what we ask them to do.
Mr. Chairman, just one quick point.
Yes.
You know, I think we have to be careful too, so no matter what forms we do, audio or video, that doesn't take precedence over the committee clerks essentially doing their job. Because what we've had to safeguard against in recent years is somebody wants the audio poll, you know, them to go in and find stuff for them when they're supposed to be doing their minutes, they're supposed to be getting ready for the meetings and those kind of things. And I think we have to safeguard that we're not having people running around doing other things, you know, for a variety of people that may want those.
I'm personally not ready to move forward with this, but I'll take a motion if someone wants to make one either way.
Mr. Chairman, maybe not necessarily a motion, but could we just informally ask Jason to maybe present again in preparation for having these recordings available during the 2015 session?
I would think that'd be in order.
Okay.
We'll deal with that as we get closer to the session, giving the timeline, proper timeline for him to do what he needs to do. So and we will bring this topic back up. But as far as in the committee as an interim right now, it wouldn't be. All right, then we have a couple more items before we're done here. Consideration of the legislative promotional expense policy. Mr. Smith, are you handling that?
Oh, Steve, thank you.
Mr. Berger is handling that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the 2013 session had some issues about inviting Canadian legislator or parliament members down and how to handle that, or legislators coming from other states for discussions with North Dakota legislators. So a provision was inserted in the appropriation bill that requires the legislative management to establish a policy. And if you look at the expense policy, this is what the introduction basically describes that. It's regarding promotional expenses made on behalf of the Legislative Assembly. And that provision also provides that any expenditure is required to be reported to legislative management, and any expenditure may not be construed as a gift for purposes of Section 18 of Article 10 of the Constitution. Basically, that section provides that prohibits the state from making donations to or in aid of any individual, association, or corporation except for the reasonable support of the poor. And the promotional expenses, this policy defines them broadly, deliberately, that way. Expenses incurred to make legislative assembly, the legislative management, or the legislative management committees better known to or improve relationships with legislative entities of other states or provinces. Again, provinces refers, meaning Canada. So the actual policy itself is two sentences. Promotional expense may be incurred and paid by the Legislative Council, from the Legislative Council, the Legislative Management, or the Legislative Assembly funds upon approval of the Chairman of Legislative Management. All promotional expenses incurred and paid by the Legislative Council under this policy must be reported to the Legislative Management. I included as a note under that the OMB policy on promotional expenses. And basically their policy is list the items that aren't included under the policy and provides promotional expenses were permitted only if they promote North Dakota its goods or services, and it was submitted by the director to OMB. Doesn't define what promotional expenses are, and it's you see that last paragraph under the note, it says here's what isn't included under the policy, like miscellaneous trinkets, mugs, pens, trade booths, expenses with respect to explaining a federal program. So basically the OMB policy is very broad, and this policy was also written to be very broad so that any instances of question would not need to be to come back to this committee. It could be decided by the Chairman of Legislative Management in approving the expense. Again, the Chairman of Legislative Management has to approve the expense.
Comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, how much money is available in this promotional expense fund, or is there such a fund? How much are, I mean, I have a lot of trust in our leadership and legislative management here, of course, but how much discretion are we giving this person, whoever that may be in the future? Do you know?
Also?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Schneider, that was discussed during the session. There, at one point, there was some money specifically put in the budget for that. That money was taken out. There's no specific money. It would just be from the general operating expenses that the Legislative Council appropriation has. I would see it on a very limited basis, but we don't have, you know, a separate fund or anything. It would have to compete with other purposes that we would spend money on. So, but
Mr. Chairman, during that discussion, during the session, the question was asked, and I wasn't chairman at the time, but my way of handling this would be to, if there was a promotional item, to check with the four floor leaders, minority and majority leaders, so that they were attuned to it, and if they were having some bad vibes, that would be taken into account. But if they were all in agreement, then it certainly would go ahead. But again, like Mr. Smith said, it's probably going to be used on a very limited basis, and I won't be asking for advice. I would be asking for accomplices. So don't worry. I mean, you're going to be aware of it. It's not going to be anything done secretly at night.
Well, for example, most of you have visited other state capitals at one point in time, or if you've been hosted at NCSL or CSG and you go tour the Georgia Capitol. When we were there, they gave everyone a keychain with the Georgia logo on it from the state of Georgia. And that was paid for by their legislature, and they gave it to the legislative members that were there. We really have no opportunity. We had West Virginia here looking at our fund for that we established, and I believe it was our trust fund they were looking at.
Legacy
fund. And we had a California delegation here looking at fracking, and basically they brought things to us, and we stood there and handed them a business card. So it isn't like we want to give away the farm, but I think some token in North Dakota when we have interaction like that, or if the Saskatchewan leader comes down and wants to sit up front in our chambers or have an address, we basically have the ability to give him nothing as a gift from North Dakota. So yeah, I think it would be used very limited, but on the other hand, I think there should be the opportunity to do that for visiting dignitaries that come through, or trade delegations, or whatever it happens during the session. So I like the fact of the way he's laying it out, I think is a good idea. So you don't need any action on this? You need a motion? Senator Holmberg, you want to make a motion?
I move we approve that policy.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Senator Flacco. Any other discussion?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. We did go to the tourism and get little pins that say North Dakota on it for the West Virginia delegation. So we gave them more than just a card.
And for example, I went on a deal a couple years ago to Israel with NCSL, and it was a leader-to-leader thing. So we met with Netanyahu's people, and it was tradition to give them something. So I just went over to the Heritage Center and bought something and gave it to them because we had no access to give them anything from our state. And I think it's a good idea if we're going to do that, representing our state, that we do that. So I'll take a vote.
President Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Ligasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flacco.
Yes.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Schneider.
Aye.
Moving right along, we got guidelines for the use of the chambers.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have a copy of the guidelines for use of legislative chambers. Basically, there's two requests for approval of the committee today. One is from the North Dakota High School Activities Association to use the House and Senate chambers and committee rooms for the 2014 North Dakota High School Activities Association State Student Congress, Thursday and Friday, November 6th and 7th. And the committee has approved this in the past. Usually the High School Activities Association asks for 2 or 3 years in advance because of the scheduling that they distribute to the other schools. So that's we've already approved the 2013 session. You did that back in 2012. So that's that request. And the other request is from Secretary of State Al Jaeger to use the House Chamber for an election conference Wednesday and Thursday, February 26 and 27, 2014. And he does that every 2 years. An example is in 2011, the committee approved a similar request for the 2012 statewide election conference. And the committee usually approves these by motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Looking for motion. Move to approve as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Holmberg.
And that fits within the schedule because legislative management will be meeting the 11th and 12th next week.
Yeah, I was going to ask that very question.
Yeah, that has been scheduled.
All right, very good. Election day in 14 is what date?
It would be the 4th.
The 4th, okay. All right, we'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Ligasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flacco.
Yes.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein. Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman. The next is, it seems a little bit early, but it's never too early to discuss the next legislative session. And it's the legislative internship program. This committee traditionally has authorized a legislative internship program. It's 10 law school students who are interns. They come down here and are interns for the standing committees. They're very valuable assets to the legislative council staff because they prepare the amendments that committees approve. And they take a lot of workload off the Legislative Council legal staff for that. So the committee has traditionally approved that. They've also approved up to 2 additional analysts to help with the appropriations committees. Last session, one analyst was hired as an analyst. One intern was hired. Whoops. Yeah, pardon?
He was subsequently hired.
Yeah. Who was subsequently hired as a fiscal analyst on the Legislative Council staff. And for those of you who have not met her yet, we hired a new attorney on the Legislative Council staff, and she was an intern during the 2011 legislative session of Samantha Kramer. And after graduation from law school in 2011, she was a clerk for the South Central District Court. And we hired her away from that, and hopefully we won't have any court issues for a while in the South Central District. But we asked for approval of the program for the 2015 session. The stipend has normally been set by this committee. We basically base the stipend on a 3-day committee clerk pay, but we have to be careful because for accreditation standards of the law school, the interns cannot receive compensation. So we determine as a stipend. It's a 4-month program. Last time the stipend was $3,000. If what I'm asking for is approval of a stipend, a reasonable stipend to be established, determined by the director of the Legislative Council after consulting with the law school. If we base it on that, we probably will be around $3,250 a month. That's recognizes a 4% and 3% increase in the stipend, just the same as what was authorized for state employees. And later, what will be recommended for an increase for session employee pay.
Senator Snyder?
Mr. Chairman, I know we're under the gun here, so I'll be very quick, but these interns are excellent. They're very talented. They're a huge help. There's one flaw in this program as I see it. My friend Stacey Dahl, when she was a legislator here, she did not get credit while she was legislating, while her classmates got credit as they were interning. I don't know if this committee can maybe gently express to the University of North Dakota Law School that it seems a little bit unfair to give credit to legislative interns. We're not giving credit to legislators. I don't know if, I mean.
That is a good point. I didn't realize that.
I'm not going to say anything, Mr. Chairman, because I'd like the motion to be approved, but maybe it has to deal with the work that an intern does versus a legislator.
That was really bad. It was probably truthful, but it was bad. We have a motion to that regard, that the compensation be adjusted according to with the negotiations with the law school and the director.
So
moved. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes, Senator Flacco.
As we move forward, maybe there's a consideration. I don't know what they do exactly, but I think for some cases, maybe all, it'd be more valuable for them if we would basically pay their tuition during that time. Then we don't have to deal with the tax consequences and stuff of being in law school for that semester than to receive the cash, possibly. Worth considering. I'm going to vote for it, but it's just thought. For 17 and beyond.
Take a roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Ligasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Flacco.
Yes.
Heckelman. Holmberg.
Holmberg.
Klein.
Aye.
Holmberg.
Klein. Snyder.
Any other business for the good of the order?
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
Any other business? If no other business, adjourn.
Al, since they know that we just voted for that we only videotape his.
Only his committee. Only his committee.
I think it's you, Jim, or today.
Yep. I wasn't going to let him off without that one. That's his school, for heaven's sake.
That's right.
Did you have easier or worse?
Okay. Well, he was smiling. He was smiling.
Ms. Deckler.
Okay, now. Whoever I don't.
Let's see. Does it really cause a tax problem for them if they get
that tonight? Yeah, that'll take a lot of
hands. I'm going to write that down.
That's been a nice turn.
Well, all of us, we're talking about $12,000 versus
well, I don't know what it is.
Well, even if they paid.
But that would be, I think that would be considered compensation. Stipend is waiter.
We could even call it in the dollar share.
Yeah, I don't know what that level is for one semester in law school, as opposed to $12,000 fee. So, okay.
But I'm saying even if we pay the 12,
right,
scholarship,
right,
then we may,
right. Yeah, it's the law school works this out to make sure that they don't have a problem.
Well,
yeah.
Student loans and all that stuff.
Okay, let's see. Click recording.